This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This morning specifically our passage is verses 18 through 20, the capstone of this armor of God that we've been putting on. We're now being told to pray. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 10, just to give us the context of this section. But before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we turn our attention to your word, we ask that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And you placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 10, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, and all perseverance. With all perseverance, make supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. In 1999, there was a father-son team competing in the Ironman competitions. Dick and Ricky Hoyt. And what was remarkable is that Ricky was born with cerebral palsy, the son. And so to race, he had to be pulled or pushed or carried by his father. Now you might be thinking, well, if dad is doing all of the work of pushing and pulling and carrying his son, then it's dad who's doing the race, not the son. But everyone watching the competition saw the son's role. When wind and cold and equipment failure made progress hard on Ricky, even though his father was pedaling the modified tandem bike, he knelt down to his son who was curled up and shaking in the cold. And as the two of them still faced more miles on a broken bike, the father asked the son, "Do you want to keep on going, son?" The father was the one enabling and providing the means to keep on going, the power, if you will. But the son still had to have the heart to finish the race. Now this isn't a perfect example of the power that is ours through prayer. But what we know is that we have a heavenly Father who is giving us His power, His might. He's giving us the armor, His armor. And He's telling us the way for us to put on and use that armor. And the way to put on and use that armor is through prayer. At the beginning of this letter, the beginning of Ephesians, which we started working our way through about a year ago. It was a year. We've been working through Ephesians for about a year already. There's a lot in this letter. At the beginning of this letter, Paul prayed that we would know the incomparably great power that God has for us who believe. And here at the end of this letter, chapter 6, verse 10, we're told to be strong. So he tells us about this power that's available, and now he's saying, use that power, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And now, our verses this morning, verses 18 through 20, are the capstone for this entire section on the armor of God. Paul has taken the big picture perspective as he's describing how we should live in this world, and he's been using imagery of a spiritual battle as he depicts and explains our struggle in this life against sin and against evil, against Satan, against these spiritual forces that are attacking. We need to recognize this reality so that we can stand firm. And although Christ has already defeated this enemy, the battle continues. They still exist and are actively trying to trip us up and pull us away from Christ. At this point, Paul is moving away from the military metaphors of armor and weapons. And he moves on to describe the way that we as Christians not just stand firm, but advance through prayer and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to be strong against this force, we need to be strengthened in God's might and His armor. And throughout this letter, we've been learning and building this armor, and now we've received the command to put it on. The tactical belt of truth, the body armor, Kevlar of righteousness, the boots of gospel peace, the shield of faith, the hope of salvation helmet, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, with each piece of armor we are wearing and putting on the gospel, we are wearing and putting on Christ and all that He has done for us, and now we are told to pray. God is the source of our might and our power. And the way that we are strong in the Lord and by His might and power is through prayer. So pray. Pray at all times, first of all. Pray with all perseverance, secondly. Pray for all the saints, third. And fourth, pray for the bold proclamation of the gospel. Pray. First of all, pray at all times. Verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So what is prayer? Here we're receiving this command to pray, but what is prayer? Prayer is letting God know the true desires of your heart. It takes us being honest and vulnerable to open up our hearts to God. Scripture describes it as pouring out your soul or pouring out your heart to the Lord. And we do this through words. Words that are thought about or words that are spoken or words that are sung. You are giving outward expression to what's in your heart. And Jesus shows us what this kind of prayer looks like. Not only when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, but also when He was teaching us the Lord's Prayer. Heidelberg Catechism talks about praying from the heart, recognizing our own need, humbling ourselves in God's presence, and knowing that He hears us because of Christ. What's prayer? The Westminster Shorter Catechism answers that question by saying that prayer is an offering up of our desire unto God for things agreeable to his will. So it's according to his will. In the name of Christ, confessing our sins, thanking him for the mercies he's given to us. Throughout this letter, Paul has been teaching us about the power of prayer. Mainly God's power that we access through prayer. If you have your Bibles open and you turn back to chapter 1, verse 15. Here we have Paul praying a prayer that they might know the greatness of God's power. Here Paul is praying. You jump down to verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? This is what Paul is praying that we would have. And verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great strength. And what is this unmeasurable great power that God is giving to us as believers according to his strength? Well, it's the power that he expressed in Christ when he raised him from the dead, ascended him into heaven, and now seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, above all rule and authority and dominion. So all of the powers that are fighting against us in our passage, Ephesians 6, verse 12, rulers and authorities, cosmic powers, present darkness, spiritual forces of evil, Christ has already conquered and is reigning over those. And that's the power that Paul is praying that we as believers know, and now telling us as believers to be equipped, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That's only one example of Paul praying for us, putting into practice what he's telling us to do. You have another example of prayer in chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So there you have it again. It's God's strength, it's his might that he is strengthening you with through the spirit who lives inside of you. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Just like with each piece of armor, we first were taught what that is, or we first built the armor, and then here at the end we were told to put it on. In the same way, we have examples of prayer throughout this letter. Prayers that we might know God's great power. Prayers that God would strengthen us by his power, and now we are told to pray. Because the way that we access this power, this strength, this might is by turning to the Lord in prayer. This prayer shows our dependence on God's power instead of our own ability or inability. The Catechism explains that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. But then it goes on to say that the reason we pray is because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts. And that second part is what Ephesians 6 is referring to. God giving his grace and his Holy Spirit to those who pray continually. This prayer is the foundation or the source of our strength and might and power in the Lord. How do you be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might? Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Here you have something that is foundational to all the other weapons. The way that we take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and everything else is prayer. Prayer is how we use these weapons. And once again, we're praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We're being alert. We keep on praying for all the saints. And so, first of all, we're told to pray at all times. And secondly, the way we should pray is with all perseverance. That's our second point. Pray with all perseverance. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So here, how do we pray? Well, one is in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, all genuine believers are in the Spirit or have the Holy Spirit living in them. Romans 8 verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So there's Paul's explanation of what it means to be in the Spirit. In the Spirit is the new life, the new reality that is ours in Christ. And that's been brought in throughout Ephesians here, right from the very beginning. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Chapter 2. Verse 22, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Paul is pointing to a prayer that relies on the Holy Spirit to convey and to express the desires that are in our hearts as we try to pour out our hearts to the Lord. Think about what Paul says in Romans 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So here you have praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Now in general, Paul is talking about prayer, the 30,000 foot view of prayer in general, us communicating with God. In verse 18, though, Paul uses three words for prayer: praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So you have praying at all times in the Spirit, you have prayer with all prayer, and then supplication. Now, to add to that, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 talks about praying without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Romans 12, be constant in prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So the picture that we're getting of prayer in general is all the various aspects of prayer. Some people use the acronym ACTS to try to describe all the different parts of prayer. You have adoration, confession of our sins, forgive us our debts. You have thanksgiving, thanking God for what he has given to you. You have supplication, which we're seeing here, bringing your needs before the Lord, making your requests. But here in our passage, we also have this intercession. It's called supplication, but it's praying on behalf of others or lifting others up in prayer as well. So we have all of these various facets and aspects of prayer. And if all of these different parts are just too much for you to keep straight, to make it simpler, we are praying for two things primarily: God's glory and our good. If you think about the Lord's Prayer, God's glory, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will. And then our good. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. God's glory, our good. And the way that we are to bring these prayers to the Lord is with a fervency. And that intensity, that fervency is stressed as these three phrases build on each other with all prayer in all. See, Paul is using the word all a lot. At all times, so all times in the Spirit, with all prayer, with all persistent supplication. And the goal, what's being communicated, is a wholehearted, persistent supplication, a persistence and devotion to prayer that's communicated not only by this persistence or this perseverance, but also with Paul telling us to keep alert, to be vigilant. So we're called to keep alert. So talking about battle here, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Keep watching. Keep praying. This is perseverance. Hold on. Be persistent. Persevere to do something with an intense effort, to devote oneself to doing something. And what's being talked about here is prayer. Never give up. Be persistent. Be praying always. Be alert. Be vigilant. When we're talking about this vigilance and this perseverance and this striving, it almost sounds like a coach training, during training or during the day. Don't give up. Keep your head in the game. Be alert. Give it all you've got. 110%. But we're not talking about anything physical here. We're talking about the spiritual reality of prayer and God's power. His might. So pray. Pray at all times. Pray with perseverance. And third, pray for the saints. Pray for all the saints. Who are you praying for here? Verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. Making supplication for all the saints. Now, Paul has given us an example of what this looks like to be praying for others, to be praying for each other. He gave us an example when he was praying for believers, praying for us in chapter 1, remembering the Ephesians in his prayer and how we can be remembering each other in prayer, praying that we would know God better and what God has accomplished to redeem us. Making supplication for all the saints, praying for each other, intercessory prayer, lifting someone out before the Lord. And as Paul is saying, yeah, make sure you are lifting up all of the saints in prayer. Pray also for me. And so we have here, who are we praying for? Where we're praying for others. Specifically, we are told to be praying for the saints, praying for believers, just like Christ prayed for those who were given to him. And as Christians, as believers, we have the privilege of knowing that our fellow brothers and sisters are lifting us up in prayer. But it doesn't end there. Because in other passages throughout Scripture, Paul tells us to pray for all people. So 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, for example, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. So there you have four. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Be made for all people. And so we're not only being told to pray for others or fellow believers, but also to pray for all people. It's a way of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And this includes prayers for our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers. It includes prayers for unbelievers or our enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Praying for those who are in positions of authority, those in positions of government. Anything that we are praying for ourselves, for our good, praying for God's glory, and our good, so anything that we're praying for ourselves, our good, can also be the prayer that we pray for others as well. It's not give me this day my daily bread, it's give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. And then Paul includes himself. Verse 19, and also for me, pray for me. He's asking that they would be lifting him up in prayer, that he would remain strong in the battles that he's facing. And so in this way, Paul is an example of what he's teaching us. A life that's depending on God in prayer, depending on God's strength. Paul is showing how spiritual battles aren't won by how much you know or how many gifts that you have, but by the Spirit. And he's doing so by humbly asking for personal prayer. He's not only getting extra support for this fight that he's in the middle of, but he's also exemplifying what this battle looks like. What depending on God's strength in prayer looks like. Pray also for me, an ambassador in chains. So pray. Pray at all times, with all perseverance for all the saints. And then fourth and finally, pray for the bold proclamation of the gospel. Now our final point this morning, this fourth point, could fit under praying for others. Paul is asking the believers in Ephesus to be praying for him. But what's unique here is the content of his prayer request. That words may be given to me, verse 19, in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul's prayer request is for courage, for boldness to proclaim the gospel. The Ephesians are asking God to give Paul the words and the courage he needs to proclaim the gospel because he's an ambassador in chains. Now that's kind of an ironic statement if you think about it, because when you think about an ambassador, it's someone who is sent from a country to represent that country to another country. They're sent, they give speeches on behalf of those who sent him. And Paul describes himself as an ambassador in chains. Paul is in prison, he is in chains. Why? Because he proclaimed the gospel. Because he preached Christ. And now he's asking for the Ephesians to be praying for him, that he would have the courage to boldly proclaim the gospel, the reason he's in chains in the first place. If you look at Acts 26, that records Paul's bold testimony and proclamation of the gospel before the governor in Judah in Jerusalem. So this is before he was sent to Rome. So there he's proclaiming the gospel. He's giving them his testimony. They send him in chains along with other prisoners to Rome because he appeals to Caesar. On the way is when Paul hits the storm, and that's a whole story. You can look it up. Acts 26 is where it begins. But here Paul now is asking for prayer, so that he could boldly proclaim the gospel. He's an ambassador. Ambassador of who? Ambassador of Jesus Christ. In chains. Pray that I'll have the power. And guess which Roman Caesar he's going to be appearing before? Nero. Nero had a sick, sadistic joy of persecuting Christians, dipping them in tar and burning them alive to light up his gardens. And now Paul is praying, yeah, I'm going to need some courage here to proclaim the gospel boldly, which is my job, as I ought to speak. So please be praying for that as this mystery of the gospel is disclosed, as I represent Jesus Christ. This is why he's asking for prayer, that he would boldly proclaim the gospel. The gospel that we are told to put on as armor. The gospel that empowers us. The reason for our prayers. The gospel that we're celebrating this morning as we come to the Lord's table. All times, with all perseverance, for all the saints, for the bold proclamation of the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, praising you and thanking you for all of the spiritual blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ, for your work and your power that's at work within us. Lord, we pour out our hearts before you, confessing our weaknesses and our inabilities and depending completely on your power, on the strength of your might, which you expressed in Jesus Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated at him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, above and over all of the enemies that we are facing, the rulers and authorities and powers of this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places that we are fighting against. Lord, please give each of us the strength we need as we fight this fight for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.